The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 18, A Romantic Dining Opportunity Appears. After a ride in a smelly cage in the back of the Bloomsburg Animal Control Van, the broad-shouldered woman in a gray uniform prodded me into a carrier. "Come with Dolores." She took me inside to an office, set the carrier on a desk, and sat down to examine me through the bars of the carrier door. I butted my head against it, but it was locked tight. Dolores said, "At last."
"At last what?"
Swiveling in her desk chair, she scooted to a table behind her and switched on a small television. She put a videotape into a slot at the base of the TV and then scooted back to the desk, a remote control in her hand.
"I know you're going to be excited by this. The Prophet is making the world safe for all who follow the calling into the next level of heaven."
I noticed that a little more of the whites of her eyes showed than normal, and they somehow glittered in the fluorescent lights. I had seen the same expression on the faces of the Reverend Bobson's followers when he preached at them about the abomination of vampires. While I wasn't scared for my life, having none, I was a tad worried about my limbs and the rest of my body. She clicked the remote and the TV came on. With another press of a button, on the screen appeared the face of Ginger Grant. Behind her, a crowd stood on the steps of a church. It was Bobson's old haunt. A chant came from the crowd. "Prophet, prophet, prophet," Grant said. "I'm at a rally at Reverend Pat Bobson's Righteous Christian Church, although there's some doubt that he is still a reverend, having become a vampire and been arrested for murder. Now released on bail, it appears that Bobson has somehow transformed what was surely the end of his career into the beginning of another one, that of Prophet." Behind her, the crowd broke its chant and switched to cheers and applause. Grant glanced back and said, "Here he comes now." The camera zoomed past her to the doors of the church. They had opened, and Bobson stood in the space, his arms raised in benediction.
Benediction?
Instead of his usual suit, he wore a crimson robe and a big smile. He stepped forward, and the crowd noise subsided. Dolores, the cat catcher, said, "I love this part." Bobson said,
"Welcome, brethren, to the Church of Eternal Life. I bring you the gift of life undying, as passed on to me by the Lord."
"Amen," crooned the crowd.
"He has spoken to me and told me that my place is to bring you heaven on earth." Dolores said, "Don't you just love it? Heaven on earth."
She sighed.
"Yes," cried Bobson. "The curse of the undead has been revealed to me as the gift of eternal life. Right here, right now, you can have the afterlife of the saved."
Dolores patted the carrier as if she were patting me.
"I get chills when he says that."
Funny, I had gotten a chill too. The idea of scores of Bobsians as immortal vampires was the scariest thing I'd heard in a long time. It would probably delight Daddy Greenbanks, though. More workers for his factory. The irony of Christian vampires was tasty, though. The Prophet professed,
"It has been revealed to me that what some regard as the abomination of vampirism is the true path to eternal salvation. It cures you of earthly appetites, and no longer will gluttony or inebriation detour you from righteousness."
Prophet Bobson raised a hand.
"Who among you would join me?"
The crowd surged forward like a many-headed animal, and Bobson led them inside. The picture changed to a close-up of Grant. Now begins the so-called Prophet's recruiting, which some wags have referred to as supper time. Bobson himself administers the bite that transfers the vampire virus to a worshipper's bloodstream. And, no doubt, took a sip or two in the process. "Nice work, Pat. You've created a personal supply of eager blood donors." Lester would be jealous. Actually, I was too, just a little. The belly burn of bloodlust was firing up in me. I was going to need to feed soon. I wondered what would happen to me if Dolores just kept me in the carrier and didn't feed me. Then I remembered the white-hot pain from before and decided not to think about it. Grant continued. The Bloomsburg District Attorney has accused Bobson of murder and human sacrifice. So far, Bobson has held off prosecution by pointing to the fact that his converts are all still walking around, although only at night, which Bobson now refers to as the holy hours. There's nothing like a true believer, is there? Although he could have been a true deceiver, too. Just another con artist who'd found a way to live off the gullible. Dolores stopped the videotape and then turned off the television. She leaned close to the bars of the carrier and peered at me. The burn in my tummy started to take over my thoughts. I wondered if I could sneak a claw through the bars far enough to hook her nose and come up with a drop of blood. Her eyes glazed with craziness, she said, "You, kitty cat, are going to help my little foo-foo into salvation, and then I will take her with me to the prophet to be welcome into heaven myself." She left the room, and I got hungrier. This bug, or whatever it was inside me, was short-tempered. It wanted what it wanted when it wanted it. And now was the time for blood. I paced as well as I could inside the carrier. Dolores returned, cradling a delicious-looking Siamese cat. It was a Siamese I'd been on the way to romance when Meg grabbed me in the graveyard. And she was still in heat. Another kind of lust joined my growing bloodlust.
"Fufu, meet Patch, your savior."
I was pretty sure I saw the Siamese wince when Dolores said Fufu. It was an awful name. Fufu gazed at me with her kitty cat smile. I thought she liked my looks. Of course, she was in heat, and that makes lady cats so horny they can only think of one thing. Talk about your heaven on earth. Dolores set Fufu on the desk near me, and then unlatched the carrier door and swung it open. The bloodlust in me shifted into third gear, but I focused and held it back. This was, after all, my own kind.
"Okay, I'll leave you two alone for a while." She wagged a finger at me. "You be nice now."
She left the room. Fufu arched her back and waved her tail. Wow. If there had been such a thing as a Playcat magazine, she'd have been the centerfold. The way the burn in my gut was growing, she'd also look good in Gourmet magazine. I stepped from the cage. Hungry. Horny. Hungry. Horny.
Hungry.
The ugly idea of cannibalism rose in my mind, but the hunger batted it down. Still, I didn't want to attack one of my own. On the other paw, if Bobson was going to turn loose a horde of Christian vampires, a few vampire kitty cats would be a nice balance. On yet another paw, there are advantages to being four-footed, I was hungry. The little Siamese queen didn't make my choice of lusts an easy decision to make. Tells you something, doesn't it? When the human term for a female dog is bitch, and for a female cat, it's queen. Works for me. Her purr filled the room, and then she lay down and rolled, her lithe body an open invitation. Again on her feet, she turned her tail into me, lowered her neck in readiness for my love bite on the back of her neck, raised her rear and treaded her hind legs rhythmically, her narrow hips swaying hypnotically. Back when I had a life, I would have been all over her. But when the bloodlust comes, these don't get to make a decision. The need for blood hit like a hurricane, blasting all thought from my mind. I tried to hold back, I really did, but I succeeded, in a way. After a good taste of her blood had taken the edge off the hunger, I was able to wrench myself away before I drained too much and killed her. I sat in the euphoria that followed feeding and watched her lie there while the virus went to work. I saw the wound I'd opened in her throat heal, and then she quivered as the virus took over her body. She questioned me with her big blue eyes, and shame intruded on my rush of well-being. But I couldn't help it, I would have said to her if I could have spoken. There were good old-fashioned cat ways to communicate, though. I went to her and licked away the traces of blood I'd left on her fur, offering grooming as my apology. She seemed to accept it, and soon got to her feet. She swayed,
and I remembered how weak I had been when Meg got me. She still looked good to me, though, and she was still in heat. With her fresh blood in me, I felt a stirring in my loins. Sure, now that she was hardly able to stand and in shock from being vampirized, I got turned on. Well, it was good to know that it was possible, even though the timing sucked. Fufu was going to need to feed soon. I would need more, too. Looking around Dolores' office, there were no opportunities for blood in sight. Just one of those weird paintings of dogs playing poker. But before I figured out a way to help Fufu with her coming bloodlust, I had to do something about her name. I couldn't keep calling her that in my mind. Little hottie that she was, that name was still a turnoff. Gazing at the regal elegance that comes so naturally to Siamese cats, the solution arrived. Queenie. Why not? Descriptive in a couple of ways. Now, I couldn't tell her that, of course, but there is a rudimentary telepathy between cats, and she'd get the feel of it sooner or later. I stood close, gave her a lick on the back of her neck, and said, "Murr." She gazed at me for a long moment, and then she opened her mouth as if to answer. Her eyes widened when no sound came out. "Oh, yeah." I took a quick breath and said, "Murf," to show her how. She took a breath and answered with a brief purr. She was quick. I liked that. Along with her physical attitude, I was receiving mental vibes that let me know that things were okay with us. I leaped to the floor from the desk, and Queenie followed. Dolores had left the door ajar, and I pawed it open wide enough to slip out. I looked back to see if Queenie was still with me. She was shaky, but close on my heels. I stopped and she came up beside me. I gave her another lick. We stood in the lobby of the place, but all the doors were closed. Then one swung open and the yaps and barks of dogs filled the room. Dolores came out with a bucket in one hand and the reek of dog poo hit me. Her eyes widened when she saw us. Then she smiled. "Fufu!" Queenie inhaled and hissed under her breath. She didn't like that appellation any better than I did. Dolores looked at me. "Did you do it? Has Fufu entered the kingdom of heaven on earth?" I gave her a long, complex meow. Queenie added a murf, which meant that she understood that I just signaled that we needed to get out of there. Dolores, of course, took it for a yes. She said, "Let me get rid of this, and then we'll go see the prophet." She went to a door, and when she opened it, I saw the night sky. I ran for it, hoping Queenie could follow. I dashed past Dolores and onto a sidewalk at the back of the building. As I headed for an alley, Dolores shouted, "Fufu!" Good, she'd stayed with me. We rounded the corner, slipped between the boards of a fence, dashed across the street, and finally stopped behind a dumpster in another alley. I wasn't even breathing hard. Well, I wasn't breathing at all. Old habits of thought were having a rough time dying. Queenie wobbled and then sat. Drawing a quick breath, she gave me an "I'm hungry" meow. The burn was starting in her. I sensed tension in my own belly. One choice was to hunt up some vermin, which wouldn't be hard to do, but ew. The other was to go back to the lawyer's place, where there was a good supply of V1 juice. I would just have to figure out a way to deal with the Meg situation. I prodded Queenie with my nose, and she got to her feet. I headed in the direction of Sanctuary and hoped that she would have the strength to make it. Maybe an hour later, keeping track of time is not a cat thing to do, my belly was really beginning to burn, and Queenie moved slower and slower. But I had hopes we would make it. Then I felt an itch when we rounded a corner. I realized that it was not as dark as it had been. Sunrise was near, and we were a couple of miles from the lawyer's house. The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning, by the Grateful Dead. Please don't murder me. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.